Well, good morning, everyone. On this beautiful Christmas day, let's all stand and start our worship service. Redback Hymnal, page 408, 408. Hark the herald angels sing.
I'm going to quote same old quote. When the kids was young, we heard a song about Christmas that was new at that time, and you probably haven't heard it, and I can't even think what it was called. But at the very end of it, it had a little child that said the usual saying. But in the child's voice, it said, "Merry Christmas, everybody." And that's the way I feel about it this morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. Amen. And I'm just thankful to see each and every one here this morning. I didn't know what kind of a crowd we'd have, and I'm thankful. It's a good crowd that we have today, and I'm just thankful that we've all come out, as somebody said earlier, to just celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I'm thankful that we've done that. I've seen a lot of people, as far as Facebook is concerned this week, there's been a lot of people that said something to the effect of just come out on his birthday and celebrate his birthday. Now, like I said other Sunday, we don't know that it was December 25th, but if you've noticed, we are bad just to celebrate somebody's birthday whenever we possibly can and at the most convenient time. We don't celebrate George Washington or Abraham Lincoln's birthdays as far as the date anymore. We do it on President's Day. And Martin Luther King, same way. When we had our celebration for my birthday, we missed it by about 3 days, I think we did. So it's when it's convenient. But the idea is that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And that's what this day is going to be about. This year we celebrated on the 25th, and this year it actually falls upon the 25th of December, and that's a good thing for us to really set aside our time to be thankful for God sending His Son into this world. And what I like to say is the most weakest creature that there was, who was the most powerful thing that there was. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is forever both ways. He always has been. He always will be. And in that weakest form and fashion, I don't know what the temperature was like that night when he was born. If it was cold, they were in a stable. And so the elements was there. The fact of the matter is, it was in the fullness of time, is what the Scripture says. And the blessed time that the King of all kings came into this world. As I said, in the weakest form. I grew up on a farm. I've watched every kind of animal be born, I guess you could say, at one time or another. At the moment, they are weak when they're born. But in just a matter of time, animals get up and go. How many of you have ever seen a newborn baby get up and go? They don't. They're about the weakest creature that there is. Or we are, I should say. We are about the weakest creature. And that's the way Jesus came into this world. For a distinct purpose, so that you and I might be saved. A lot of the world today do not realize what happened on that birthday that we celebrate today, but I want us to celebrate the fact that Jesus is born into this world. It is good to see each and every one out today. We want to move right along with our service. I realize that a lot of people's got family get-togethers. That's what we've already been doing in our family also, and we still got a couple to go. But the fact of the matter is, it's good for us to come together and worship today, but we're going to move right along with our service today as we usually would. And we hope and pray that the Lord is going to be here in a great way. I believe He will, if we ask Him. So that's one of the things I want us to be praying about today, is asking the Lord to come and be in our midst of this service today. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? There are several that are still sick. I did talk to Sister Nettie Jennings yesterday, and she's still pretty rough shape. She's been fighting sickness. She's very croupy is what I'll call it. And so do remember her. I never could get a hold of Sister Theta, but remember her. She's been fighting COVID. Remember the Davenports, Brother Lowell and Miss and his wife. Do remember them in your prayers. That's some of our sick here. We've got some that are not as well. because of things that are going on in their lives, and do remember that. I had another prayer request put to me earlier, but do you have a prayer request? Amen. Amen. That's a good prayer request for us to take into the new year, a year of salvation. I pray every one of you gets to see. How many of you want to see get saved this year? Huh? 50. I like that number. 50 would be a really good number. How many of you thought, wait a minute, I don't know if that can happen or not? With God, all things are possible, right? Yeah, I believe you can too. Boy, wouldn't that be a great meeting for us? I'm not talking about, and I know Brother Sam's not talking about, that we'd see it all at one time. I'd love to see it scattered out all over the year. Let's be prayerful. Anybody else?
With the Hill, Spring Revival, the Hilltop had last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think 12 got saved in a week.
Oh, yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah.
Brother Rick Allen, praise the good Lord this morning on the way here. I just want to thank him that he's never turned away from me.
Amen. Yeah.
Even though I turned away from him anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I got to think, you know, he was working on me back in the day.
Yeah.
And it came to realize this morning that he was trying to tell me even back then.
Yeah.
I'll get you back. I'll get you back where you belong.
Lord bless.
Right now, I'll bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful that he did.
Amen.
He'll get your attention one way or another.
Yes, he does.
I'm very thankful. He brought me back.
Yeah. Amen. We appreciate this. He said, I'm thankful he brought me back. And then he put, the Lord said, I'll bring you back one way or another. And the term there, one way or another, that's kind of like an or else. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you are not doing what God wants you to do, he'll bring you around one way or another. And there is that or else factor in there. I've been there. And I've took the else, or else part. I've took that. And I'm going to be honest with you, I never did like it. I've seen people take a lot worse than I did. And you don't want to go there because mine was bad enough. And I've seen them take worse than I have. You don't want to take the or else. Go ahead and come back to God. Do what he wants you to do. Do what he wants you to do. You don't want that or else factor. Somebody else got a prayer request or a praise of God?
That's prayer for my cousin Nikki.
Yeah. 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 Do remember this in your prayers. Somebody else. There are several with cancer around. One of the members at Hogan's Creek, a young mother that I saw tell about her salvation the first time. And the first time I saw her, she wasn't saved. She's fighting cancer. She has several tumors on her liver. This is the second time around. And they're telling her now the only thing they can do now is a transplant. If she qualifies, I want you to understand that. She's got three kids. I think the youngest one is about 12. And so do remember them in your prayers. Another member at Hogan's Creek, he's fighting colon cancer. Do remember him too. Two that I think a lot of. And so I'll ask you to pray for them. Anybody else got a prayer request? That's who I was talking about.
Really?
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Somebody else. Yeah. Lord help. Lord help. Let's be prayerful for this. Anybody else's family here that's got family members that's not going to church, I want to add that in there. Hold your hand up if you've got some family members that needs to be in church. Bless your hearts. Let's be prayerful for them. Somebody else. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Lord bless you. Appreciate this. It's always good to thank God. Somebody else got something on your heart? Yeah. Let's do remember our servicemen. Somebody else? Yes. Bless your heart. Appreciate this. Somebody else? Go ahead, baby. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Bless your heart. Appreciate this. Somebody else? Bless your heart. Appreciate this, too. Somebody else? Have you thanked the Lord this morning? Think about it. Have you thanked the Lord this morning? Before you start remembering these prayer requests that's been made today, take a little bit of time and just start your thank yous. I'm not talking about just thanking God for Jesus. We should be, don't get me wrong. But start with your thank yous when you start to pray this morning. Appreciate each and every one being here. We're glad to have our visitors with us. Make yourselves right at home. You pray too. Everybody pray. But let's be about God's business in this service today. And let's ask the Lord just to come in and bless our day and bless us. That's what I want you to do. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray this morning. Brother Fabian, I believe you are to lead us in prayer this morning. Everybody start to help him out.
I want to welcome all the visitors. You may have already been welcome, but we want to tell you we're glad that you're with us today, and we're glad that you've come to be with us and worship. And Brother Brad asked us to try to sing a song, and this one kept coming to mind, and we've sung it before at Christmas, but it's always meaningful to me. It's called The World's Greatest Story, and there's never been a greater story that could be told about Jesus. We see a lot of stories taught in books and in movies and in school and fiction, nonfiction. But I'm glad that my mom and dad took me and endorsed the story of Jesus. Took me to a place where I could hear it. And it's the truth. And this song is real simple. It has just two verses, and we'll sing it for you. But on the last verse, if you just sing it with me, and all you do is echo what I say. So hope you get a blessing out of this. The world's greatest story in the Bible is told. It's a story of Jesus, and it never grows old. He was born in a manger, gave his life on the cross, brought hope and salvation to a world that was lost. 'Tis the world's greatest story that has ever been told. A story more precious than diamonds or gold. How this lone Galilean saved the world from its fall.
world's greatest story, greatest story of all. An old-fashioned story, yet it's ever so new. Though skeptics may doubt it, I believe it is true. From the dawn of creation, you may search, but you'll find there's no greater story on the pages of time. That's the world's greatest story that has ever been told. A story more precious than diamonds or gold. How this lone Galilean saved the world from its fall. That's the world's greatest story of all. That's the world's greatest story. Greatest story of all.
Thank you.
Thankful to see each and every one here this morning. Anybody got anything on your heart? I want everybody to be safe throughout, especially this next coming week, if the Lord allows us that, because this is a time of year that a lot of people just really do a lot of, for lack of better words, dumb things. And they cost a lot of people's lives in many ways. So everybody, please be safe and try to stay as healthy as you possibly can is what we want you to do. Best thing that we all can do is every chance we have, let's honor God in some way, whether it be by just thanking the Lord for saving our souls, talking about Him. Hey, that's honoring God. Did you know that? Talking about how He has been good to us. Hey, that's honoring Him. Talking to individuals that maybe, we'll just say, that know about it already, but sometimes it's just good to hear it. And sometimes you talk to individuals that do not know a thing about it, but it's good for us to tell about Jesus. Anybody got anything else on your heart before we go any further? I don't know that I've ever done this. Three sermons that are basically timely as far as the time of year. So be prayerful for us today. We're going to go back to the story of the birth of Christ, and we're going to the first chapter of Luke is where we're going to take our reading lesson from. It's not going to be a long one, but I asked your prayers today that the Lord would help me today. It's a common thought, I guess we would say, during this time, about the birth of Christ. And we're not going to talk as much about the birth of Christ as we are going to talk about our Savior today and who He was. Different ones talked about last week after the service, and that they thought the sermon last week was a sermon that was good for us to hear. And I think that's what the Lord gave us. For that reason, it's good for us to hear how Jesus came to be, that He was not just a single man, that maybe He was what we would say Joseph's son in any way. He was God's son. And today is going to be somewhat a continuation of that, but we want to talk about who He is today. We want to talk about Him being God's Son, yes. But we want to talk about the different references that there is that proves who Jesus was. And you might say, well, there's a lot of references there. Lord willing, we're going to go eventually, not now, eventually we're going to go to the sixth chapter of John. And you may have not caught these things. That's going to be a reference as to who Jesus was and how it proves who he was. But you can kind of make that mark if you want to. Like I said, Lord willing, we'll see what God does. But out of Luke, the first chapter, this is where that Mary is hearing about the birth of her son that she's going to call Jesus. And that's where we start at with verse 31. The angel says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." That's our reading lesson, verses 31 through 35 this morning. I'm going to give you a couple quick references here. If you go back over into Matthew's writing that we read last week, you'll get another reference as to how the angel said that we were going to refer to Jesus. And you can also take this quotation out of the sixth chapter of Hebrews, and it's verse 23 in the book of Matthew, but you can also go to the book of Isaiah, seventh chapter, verse 14, and get this same writing where he says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted is God with us." Also, looking at Isaiah the ninth chapter. Maybe I'd been better off just went the seventh chapter when it had turned as far. Make y'all move a little bit, I guess. Keep you warm during these cold days. But the other verse that is many times used in prophecy about the birth of Christ is in the ninth chapter, verse 6, where it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And let me get my fingers here, I lost my place. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And you'll notice that it gives several titles that are given to that baby. And when I say that baby, I want you to understand I'm talking about Jesus this morning. The angel said unto Mary and to Joseph both, "You shall call his name Jesus." A lot of times this time of year, there's not many of the depictions of the birth of Christ that I've not watched one time or another or several times over the years. You know, there's cartoon versions. There's versions back from the 40s and 50s. Some of them are very good in their depiction. I did find one this week on TV that I hadn't saw before. And as they were showing Mary and Joseph, it was basically a little more in detail, I guess you would say. And it was something that I had actually wondered about. What was their conversation? I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. What was their conversation on the way to Bethlehem? What was the conversation between the two when Mary started feeling the labor pains? Yes, she would have had the labor pains. When Joseph started realizing that child that he had been told by the angel, which was the Son of God coming to be into this world by his wife, when he saw all of this starting to come about, what was their conversation? Now, in this depiction that they had, the characters as they had, the actors and actresses playing this, they was in conversation. And they quoted the verses that I said, that I read to you today. I already had my thought. Don't get me wrong about this. I didn't get it from the movie. But they had a conversation, and they quoted this. It said that he would be called Emmanuel. Should we call him Emmanuel is what Joseph said. And Mary just kind of looked at him. He says, yeah, you're right. The angel said we should call him Jesus is what he said. I thought that was a very interesting topic. Yes, the scripture gives these different names that he said, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the Emmanuel, God with us. This is that Jesus, which would be called Wonderful. This baby is going to be that great counselor. The government is going to be on his head. All of these things were descriptions of a small child born into this world. Anybody know of a baby just born in the last little bit? Some of you have been blessed maybe to be with friends this week, and you saw a child maybe that is only a matter of weeks old, and you look at them, and they're only yay long, we'll say, maybe some of them. When you put them in a blanket or something, you wind them up, they can only be down to about this size. And we get that privilege of looking upon these children, and we see them. But as Mary and Joseph looked upon this child, this baby here, they thought about the scripture. Yes, they knew the scripture that was given to them, the prophecies that was given to them. It was no secret among the Jews. They understood. Remember when the wise men, when they came unto Herod and wanted to know where the king of the Jews would be born, he went to the Jews and they said, in Bethlehem is where they said, just as the scripture had said about it. They understood what the Bible was telling them, or the scriptures that were telling them about this child that was going to be born. So when they thought about these verses and they looked at this baby that was there, they saw, as we said earlier, a little creature that was very weak in that time, but they realized the power that God had brought forth in their witness that day. For them to witness that child coming into this world and understanding that he was going to be wonderful, to understand that he was God with them, for them to understand that he was blessed unto them, for them to understand that it was the mighty God. And I truthfully believe that Mary and Joseph understood who that baby was. Mary got the news. She conceived by the power of God. Joseph got word of the pregnancy, if you would. And then the angel of God announced to him, that baby is the Son of God. You're going to take care of this. So in that moment and time that day, they knew who that child was. They knew who that baby was in that moment and time. Now, as you look at these scriptures today, and you think of who that baby was, I want you to get a few more titles that are given to Jesus. And I wrote these down just as a quick reference. If you want to write them down and you get it from me later, if you want to study them out, this is just a few names that he was titled. In 1 Timothy 6 and 15, he is the King of Kings. Whew, you think about that today. King of all kings. England has a new king, don't it? But he is secondary. He's way down the list to the King of Kings. In Revelations 22 and 13, it says that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end is what that means. He is everything. He is from everlasting to everlasting is basically what we want to call it. This is one that I love to see in our references today. In John 6 and 48, it says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, meaning he is the one that gives us salvation. He is the one that when we partake of the bread of life, we are privileged to have eternal life. In Revelations 19 and 11, he says that he is faithful and true. He is that God. He is that Son of God that is always faithful. He is always there. He never fails any of us. Many people may say in their lives, there are times that God has failed us. But truthfully, it is us that has failed and God has not. He's always been exactly there. That true is the other thing. He is so faithful in his statements, in everything that he does. He is that God that is always true. Many times we look at our lives or we look at people and we see them in such a way. They may fail us, but there are those that we can count on so much that we basically say they are always true to what they said they was going to do. And Jesus is that today. He is always faithful and true. In John 14 and 6, he said this, and I love this one too. I am the way. When it came down to the fact of us being saved, he put it down to a place where he said, I am the way. There is a lot of the world today that wants to talk about and wants to say, oh, there's this plan. There is this God. There is these things that we as human beings would like to say is a way in which that we might be saved. But Jesus said, I am the way. And I would add to that, and there is no other way whereby that you might be saved. The actual scripture that we think about is out of the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, where it says, there is none other name under heaven whereby ye might be saved. The other one that I want to bring to your attention also goes, or let me back up and just say John 14 and 16. Let me quote the rest of that. When Jesus said, I am the way, he said, I am the truth. And what he meant by that, there is all, I mentioned true a while ago. He's always true. But he is the truth, the way and the truth. That truth means that he is always going to be. And I'm not talking about existence. That way is always going to be the truth. It's always going to stay that way, regardless of what any man, any woman, any child might say. The other part of that verse, or the last part of that verse, is, and the life. Without Jesus in our lives, let me back up and say this a little different here. That Jesus, without Jesus in our life, let's go back to the day that we are celebrating today. And that is, the without the birth of Jesus, there is no life. Without Jesus, without that baby being born there in Bethlehem, there is no life today. And when I'm speaking about life today, I'm not talking about this temporary life that we're talking about. Every one of us have a time here upon our lives. I heard it said a few years ago in this way. If you go to a cemetery and you look at somebody who are at a monument of somebody, what they will generally do is they will have a time when they were born. A friend of mine other day, and I looked up an ancestor of ours, and I told him he was born in, I believe it was 1786. I said he died in 18, I think it was 70 years. We'll say 1850. He lived about 80 years. Now, generally the way they depict it on a monument is they'll have the birth date, they'll have a dash, and then they'll have the time when they died. What I want you to get out of this today, that lifespan is that dash. That's your lifespan. That's the way they put it in that way. But let me put it in this way. This life, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, has no end. It is an everlasting life that is brought about by Jesus, that baby that was born there in Bethlehem in that day. Now, you may say, well, all of these things coming together, they are a witness of these things. And yes, Jesus was all of these things. But the scripture tells us that he was that child. We know the witnesses that came when Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. Have you ever thought that Mary and Joseph, they were the first ones to witness about Jesus? In a sense, they were. Others say, well, the angels that proclaimed to the shepherds, they were the witnesses of that. And yes, they were. Then the shepherds that came to that stable there, and they found that little child there, they were the witnesses to come and tell about that baby, what the angels had said. All of these things were witnesses as to who that baby was. Even the wise men who came in later in the time, and they witnessed that they had been instructed by God to come and see that child. But I want to give you some other things as far as what the Bible tells us as to witnesses as to who Jesus was. You know from what you've read in the scriptures throughout times, you saw that there were many people that doubted who Jesus was. Do you know somebody that doubts? really who Jesus was? I do. I've had people tell me that they doubted that Jesus was the Son of God. I've had people tell me they didn't believe that Jesus could save them. They doubted who he was. But today, I want you to see some of these witnesses. These names that he was called was a witness to you as to who God in the flesh was, that Jesus. Now, in the fifth chapter of Luke, of John, back up one chapter, verse 5. Chapter 5 is where I'm going. I told you wrong. Should be right there at it. It says in the 31st verse of the 5th chapter of John, Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, it is not true." Now that sounds just a little bit wrong, doesn't it? We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, and he says, "If I tell you who I am," he says, "that's not true." That don't sound right. But you have to understand something. Do you take, and I'll put it in this way, if somebody comes to you and they tell you that, we'll say, quote, they are a millionaire, do you believe them? Well, maybe they've got a $1,000 suit on. You recognize that. Well, they could be a millionaire, but are they really a millionaire? Let me give you a story. Christy, my daughter, told this the other day. She said there was a man who came out to Macon Christian other day. He was in his overalls. He got out of an old, I think it was a Chrysler minivan that was about a 1990-something model. And she knew him well. He has a long beard. He looked kind of rough is basically what said. And one of the teachers, as they saw him leave, Christy said, "That man is a millionaire." She says, "No, he's not, probably." She says, "Oh, yeah, he is." Actually, what he done is he won the lottery a few years ago. And he still actually looks like I described him. Now, he has become a very good Christian man. I'll say that. Let me say it that way. He has become a very good Christian man since that time. But to look at him, he looks like a pauper. If you talk to him, he sounds like a man that doesn't have a red cent to his name. He will tell you he can't afford to buy a new vehicle. He will tell you that he can't even afford to have that one fixed. And to look at him, you would think that he is telling you a big lie if he told you how much money he had. You see, when Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself," he said, "it's not considered true," is basically what he was saying. You see, the rule is with the Bible is in the mouths of two or three, a witness is made true. You know what the truth is. He says, "If I just say it, that's not good enough," is what he's telling you in this time. Now, I want you to go on with us, verse 32, and we're going to skip a few verses here alone. He said, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that that witness which he witnessed of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto me." You see, I want you to see, John the Baptist is who he's talking about. When he saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, the words that came out of his mouth, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Before this happened, the Jews had sent people to him. "Are you that prophet?" Excuse me. "Are you that prophet?" "No, I'm not that prophet. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and undo his shoes. And when he saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Listen, I'm going to skip down to verse 36. "But I have a greater," this is what Jesus said, "I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me," he says. "They bear witness of me," he says, "and ye have neither heard his voice or any time, nor seen his shape." Meaning, because you haven't seen God, because you haven't heard his voice, you don't believe it, but God has witnessed that I am his son. Example, when Jesus came straightway up out of the water at his baptism, the Bible says that, "Behold, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit in the fashion of a dove came and lit upon him." Hey, that's a witness. And on top of that, what happened? The voice of God cried out, "Behold my son," I'm paraphrasing this, "in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." I think I went back to another time. God actually spoke out three different times saying, "This is my beloved son." Now I said what the Bible said was, "In the mouths of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be known." How many witnesses have we got? We've got Jesus, we've got John, we've got the Holy Spirit, and we've got God. He's not done yet. Oh, by the way, there was another witness there that I forgot to pull in there. His works. His works showed who that baby was. Drop down to verse 39. This is where the scripture says, "Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The scriptures say who that baby was. You got six witnesses already as to who that baby was. Just in what Jesus said, not counting what was said already. Now let me give you what he told those Jewish men. These people that they thought they were so religious in all of their fashions, in all of their works, there is people today in all of our churches today that are much like them. They go to church every Sunday. They go and they say that they worship. They go and they mock what God has put into this world as far as salvation. They listen to Satan more than they listen to God. And yes, that sounds harsh, but it's true. That's what these Jews were doing. They were listening to Satan because it wasn't according to their traditions, but they did not listen to God. What Jesus told these Jews, you'll find it in verse 45. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." He's saying, you hadn't paid attention to these witnesses that have been given. Remember the witnesses? Mary, Joseph, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself, the shepherds, the angels. Think about what the scriptures said about him in all of these different names that have been given. All of these things have said that he is the Son of God. That baby was that child. He is your Savior. In his name is no other name given whereby you might be saved. All of this was given. And he says, I'm not going to accuse you by these witnesses. The Jews had one that they really paid more attention to than anybody else. And that was Moses. He said, I'm not going to accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Now, what I want you to see today is, when you think about that baby being born, it's easy for people to just take it for granted. Well, that was some man's child. It wasn't the Son of God. It's easy for people to look at it and say, well, it was probably really Joseph's son. But it wasn't. It's easy for people to take the stories that were given about the shepherds, the angels, about the wise men, and to say, well, these were things that people just made up. Hey, I hear those people make those statements from time to time. It's easy for people to take it for granted in those very terms that it's all just a made-up story. But every single one of these is a witness to you, to the people that are passing by today. It's a witness to them. It's a witness to this community. It's a witness to this state, to this country, to every nation of the world, that God so loved them that He sent a baby to us to believe in, that we might be saved. This is what Jesus said in the last verse, and this is where I'm going to close at, Brother Brad. But if you believe not His writings. Now His, he said, you believe Moses more than you believe anybody else. If you don't believe the writings of God, that right there, remember what I said, He is the life. You can't have salvation unless you believe that He truly is who He said He was. Now, what did He say He was? I am that I am. I am the great I am. I am the Son of God. And He should be worshiped by each and every one of us. We should be thankful. We should be praising Him like the angels was. We should be praising Him like the shepherds was. We should lift up the name of God, for that baby, that child in which we celebrate. A lot of people will say, well, the greatest part that He did was dying on the cross for us. Hey, I agree. The greatest part was actually Him dying and rising again. What did I tell you about the monuments? There's a beginning date and a date of death. There had to be a beginning date in this world for Jesus. Yeah, He died on the cross, but He came back to life. And think about it, that dash is still going. That dash is still going. Thank God that He did. But we celebrate the birth of Christ today. While we stand and sing, I want us to just be so thankful for that birth of that child. I want you to take a new step today. If the Lord grants us next Sunday, Brother Sam said this. He said, we'll be meeting in another new year. We'll flip the calendar over. We're going to see 2023 if He gives us that. If. Now, I want you to get that. If we get that. What are you wanting to see out of God? I asked the question, how many do you want to see saved in this next coming year? Brother Sam spoke 50. It's possible. What do you want to see in your life? How many do you want to see get saved? How many do you want to see born into this church? How many do you want to see join this church? How much do you want to grow in Jesus today? It starts with a beginning date. There's a birth that we all look forward to seeing. There's a starting date that we want to start. Think about it today. What are we longing to see happen in this coming year? All right, I've got off my subject. Everybody, start today. Start today is what I want you to do in worshiping of God. Brother Brad, while we sing.
Stand, church hymnal, page 314. 314.